God's hand in my journey and how I've gotten to the point of today. And so to start with, I'd just like to share a little bit about me. So this is my family. It's a rather large family. It's a rather pick-a-mix family. And it's a great family. My parents are in the foreground, and they raised us out in Kemu, West Auckland, and part of their deal was that we lived no more than 5 minutes from the church because that was our second home. And so that set a pattern in our life of what was important for us and for where we were going. And along the way, just supported us in our faith journeys. So I'm standing there with my youngest nephew next to my little brother, Warren, who's a bit of a giant. And then my two sisters are next to him. So that's a little of us. Now, I grew up in the church, so I was interested in, I heard about mission a bit. When I left high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I went to Bible college and did a certificate in ministry development. They didn't have intermission then. I think I would have liked intermission, but but yeah, I just wanted to see and spend some time getting to know God a little bit better, developing my faith, but also then I was hoping for some inspiration as to what I would do with my job and in a career. And over that time, I also went on a missions trip, and I went to the Philippines. This is the group that I went with. And while I was there, I was really struck by the faith that I saw in people. So they didn't seem to have a lot of material wealth, but their faith in God was just so strong. And so in my quiet time one day, I was just saying, God, where does this faith come from? And he said to me quite clearly, go to James 2 verse 5. And so James 2 verse 5 says, listen, dear brothers and sisters, God has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he has promised to those who love him? And just, you know, kind of that reaffirmed for me that God was there in that moment with me, and he understood my heart's cry, but also that the Bible had a lot of answers that I needed to continue to search for. And so I came home from this trip and I thought, well, missions is great, but really not for me. And I started... It's always the way. And so I started to do some teacher training. So I went to AUT and did my teacher training. I got to work in a range of different early childhood institutions around Auckland. I worked in daycares. I worked in a public kindergarten. I worked for Pause in Home Childcare and Education as a visiting teacher. So I'd go out and visit in-home educators and offer support and guidance on their program and support them through the level three. And then about 3 years ago, I felt God say to me, it's time for you to live somewhere else. And I started having dreams about living in Asia, which was really weird for me because I wasn't interested in travelling there. I've travelled quite a bit, and Asia wasn't one of the areas that had come up. And so I went to teach at Eaton House International Preschool in Singapore, and that was a great opportunity for me to learn to live away from home, which I think was an essential part of my next step moving to South Asia, because it meant that I actually learned how to live away from my family, which I'm very close to, away from my friends, to build relationships in a different culture, in a different context, and to understand different cultures a little bit better. And so throughout this time, I was involved in church, and I did a lot of different things. I did children's church, I did youth group, I was involved in the women's ministry, I was involved in life groups. And so I just kept, you know, when God presented an opportunity for me to serve, I just continued to say yes to what he asked me to do. I went to Rome in 2013 because I had a friend who was getting married in Europe. And while I was there, I wanted to see one great place. My grandmother is Catholic, and so Rome seemed like a really good place for me to go to understand her faith a little bit better with Vatican City, and also to see some of the early church places. And so the first day I went to Vatican City, and the picture on, now I'm going to confuse this, on your left is St. Peter statue in St. Peter's Basilica. And what what's interesting about the statue is that people go on pilgrimages to see the statue and to touch the feet of the statue. And I stood there and I watched the line, and it was really interesting because the line never got shorter. In fact, I think it grew while I was watching. And these people just came and they touched the foot with reverence and then they moved on. And I said to God, well, how does that help them connect with you? Because I see God as a living, breathing God who I can talk to myself. And so touching a statue didn't have relevance for me. And he kind of put the mirror up in front of me and said, well, Carol, sometimes you come to church and you touch the metaphorical foot. You turn up because that's what people are expecting you to do. You turn up because if you don't turn up, you're going to have friends who say, oh, I missed you on Sunday, what were you doing? And I wouldn't have to tell them that I just slept in. So I turned up and I just touched the metaphorical foot rather than actually turning up and engaging in my relationship with God and with other Christians. And then the next day, I went to the Colosseum. And in the Colosseum, I got to stand where the crowd would have been. And imagine what the festival atmosphere it would have been in the Colosseum. So the Colosseum was somewhere where people went to celebrate, and they held lots of festivals there, but they also killed Christians there. And I stood and I looked down at the arena and imagined what it would have been like for the people who found themselves in that arena. And it was in a time when people couldn't just like we can say, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe. But it was a time when people would actually get persecuted for their faith. And so people didn't advertise, but they often, I imagine, found themselves there because people couldn't help but see that there was something different in their lives. And so God really challenged me that could people see that there was something different in my life, and could they see that I was actually living for Jesus every day? And so I started to look at what that looked like and what the early church was looked like as well. So I went to Acts 2. So if you want to turn with me to Acts 2. And it says in Acts 2 verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers together were all together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so I started to look at what that looked like. And, you know, the key things that were happening, you know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what were the apostles teaching? They were teaching about the salvation of Christ, the love and grace and mercy that you find in Jesus. And they were talking about the fellowship and the breaking of bread, being together with other Christians and like-minded people, to prayer. And I really loved your initiative with the prayer because, you know, prayer is so important and actually the first steps of going out into mission. To wonders and signs, and to sharing of their wealth with those in need, to meeting together in the temple, so not just in homes but also in the church, and to praising God. And there were two key things that stood out for me that I needed to explore further, and that was the apostles' teaching, you know, kind of how much was I understanding my daily walk with God and how much of it was being represented in my daily life. And also to the sharing of wealth with those in need. And looking at that, it's not necessarily, I didn't feel it was always material wealth that we can share, but also knowledge and understanding as well, particularly coming from a developed country like New Zealand, where we have a lot of amenities, we have a lot of access to knowledge and to understanding, and how we look at sharing those things, but also looking at ways in which the world is in deficit as well, I guess. And so one of the things that I came across was the A21 campaign, and so they're looking to abolish slavery by the end of the 21st century, and so they're looking at this big injustice of human trafficking and bonded labour. And the stats say that there is over 27 million people in bonded labour around the globe. Now, when you think about it, coming from New Zealand with our 4 million people, when you look at that, that's significantly higher than our average population, who don't get the choice in where they work and what they do with their lives. Only 1% to 2% of those people are ever rescued or freed, and that the average age of a trafficking victim is 12 years old. And so those were some things that really resonated with me. And from a country where this isn't prevalent, I definitely think it happens in New Zealand, and I definitely think that there is something, you know, kind of that needs to be kept in check here in New Zealand, but looking at where and which we could actually make a difference in the world. So I started to look a little bit closer to home. Being raised at Kumu Baptist, we support both Kerry and Annie and Peter and Leonora DeVry, and so I had been aware of FreeSet. Now, FreeSet is a freedom business. So they're in the business of offering women the choice to leave prostitution who've been sold and trafficked into it. And so they work in a red light community in South Asia, and they've been working there for, the business itself has been open for 16 years now. And so they've grown from 20 women to over 350 women working for them. And also looking at, that's kind of the bottom of the cliff. Girls have already been trafficked by the time they get there. So looking at actually stopping them being trafficked. So they're starting to open businesses in the rural communities where a lot of the girls are coming from in their community. And so I started off looking at it. And because I was teaching overseas, we had a good chunk in the Northern Hemisphere summer, and so I earmarked my summer to actually go and see them in July 2016, and got to actually sit down and hear a little bit about what they're doing and what the issues are that they're facing. We got to sit down with a Muslim imam and hear about how they see the issues within their faith. We got to sit down with a Hindu Sikh and hear how they see the issue of prostitution within their faith. We also got to talk to some of their partner organisations like JVI and IJM, because FreeSet are a fair trade certified company. They can't help anybody under the age of 16 who has been trafficked and who is working in the red light community. So they've worked with partner organisations. So if they hear of underage girls, they can talk to these partner organisations and arrange raids and things like that so that those girls can get rescued and get the help that they need via other means. And also just got to see and to be and to hear and to talk and to ask questions about the business. One of my favourite times of the day at FreeSet is actually this bottom picture. That's morning devotions. So they start the day in morning devotions every day. They sing songs, praise and worship, read the Bible, pray, do different things each morning. And this is I didn't understand until I got there. It's actually a cultural response to their climate. If they were a Hindu business, they would start the day by offering incense to their God. And so as a Christian business that sits under Jesus Christ, they start their day with offerings to God. And that just kind of shows a little bit of cultural understanding as to how they can fit into their community. While I was there, they also started to share some of their needs within the community, because as a teacher, I didn't feel like I actually fitted in anywhere in the freedom business. I just felt like I was on this journey with God where he'd said, well, I'd like you to explore this further. When they started to actually talk about some of the needs within their community, this is the ground floor of the Gateway building, which is where they're hoping to start an early childhood centre. This early childhood centre is different from the early childhood centres they already have. They have childcares within their businesses for their workers, but this is actually for the red light community. The red light community, there's no childcare options available there, and there's a lot of children. So children either sleep under the bed that mum is working on, they are looked after by anybody on the street, so if a customer comes along, that takes preference. And or they are looked after by a woman who can no longer have customers. So those customers, those women might be sick because they can't have customers, or they might be too old. And they're literally in a room that is probably no more than 6 feet by 9 feet. It's a really small space, and that's where they do all their living. And they might have several children in there for the day with no toys and nothing to really amuse them or to actually develop skills that they need to learn and grow. So they started to talk to me about this and this need that they'd identified and how they saw opening in early childhood as part of the solution, and that what they were really needing was people to come and train the teachers to work there. And I really felt God say to me, this is an opportunity for you to use what's in your hand. He just asked me to actually take the next step with him and to say yes. I never thought I wanted to move to India, but I actually loved my time in Calcutta and it felt like home. And so I felt like it was really easy to say yes. But Ephesians 2:10 really helped me, and it said, "For we are all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." And so this is just really kind of, this is how I see my days going. I got the opportunity to go up to Sherpur and work with some of the women up in the business up there and support them with their English language development. I only had a week with them, but it was so much fun, and these women had so much joy. One of the women on the last day, I asked them to write a little paragraph about themselves. And I was expecting, you know, my name is this and I have this many children and I'm married to this man. But instead she started to write her testimony to me about how her life changed when she started working with Freeset, and how she had no hope before. And she was really worried about what her future held, both for her and for her daughter, but how she'd come there and she'd met people who were different. And then they'd introduced her to God, and she'd thought about him. And one day she had the courage to ask for a Bible. And then she got the Bible, and she got to know God, and she got to know a different life. And, you know, kind of her favourite song was, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And that she was starting to repair the relationship with her husband, which had been damaged through traumas and things that had happened, and that her family was starting to come back together again. And just, you know, that story of how life can be changed through just the availability of people around them. And so I'm hoping to head to South Asia myself to train the teachers there. There are some things that I would really appreciate you being prayerful with me and that is that I both can develop a support network, both in prayer support and in financial support. I can't go without financial support. This is a fully voluntary position, so I'm relying on people to actually donate in order for me to go. And also for a smooth transition to India, there's a lot of things to happen before I actually get to India, visas and things like that. And also for God's grace in learning Bengali. I've started my Bangla lessons and they're going okay, but there's a lot to learn. I have to learn a whole nother alphabet and a whole nother writing style. So if you could pray for that, that would be great. I just want to leave you with a little video from Transcend.
We are so excited about what God is going to do in, through and around her. We can't wait for her to get over and join the team at Freeset. Before she can go, she has to develop a team of supporters. People who will come around her and support her in prayer and financially. If God is calling you to join that team, please take her prayer card, commit to pray for her, and if you're able, to financially support her. Thank you.